This is one of the most foundational things, hearing God's voice. This is the reason. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, questions that I'll be asked, you know, and other ministers are asked often is why am I not experiencing the abundant life? Why am I've prayed, I've confessed, I've done, and all of these things. Why haven't I seen an answer to my prayer? Why haven't I, you know, and so, you know, since I don't know, Pastor, do you have the answer for me? Because, you know, somehow pastors are supposed to magically have the answer for everybody. And I'm glad to help and to help, you know, share what's on my heart. But I don't know the answer for everybody because God never intended for the pastor to be the answer for everybody. God intended for Jesus to be the answer for everybody. Jesus came to so that you would have a personal relationship with God because God's intent wasn't just to save you. Let me make a bold statement. Jesus didn't come to the cross like his primary purpose wasn't to forgive you of your sin. His primary purpose of going to the cross was not to forgive you of your sin. His primary purpose of going to the cross was restoring fellowship and relationship with God. Amen. Sin is what separated. Sin is what caused that separation. But at the very beginning, when he created man, there he was every day walking in the cool of the evening, walking with Adam, having conversation with Adam. It was a family. It was that kind of relationship that Adam wasn't ever saying, "Where are you, God? Who are you? Can you help me here?" No, every day. Somebody say every day. Not once a week. Not once every now and then, not when you get in a bind, that's when you need to hear from God. Live stream is on. Welcome back, live stream. Every day, Adam talked with God. Praise God. Every day, the Bible talks about Jesus when he came. In 1 Corinthians 15, it calls him the last Adam. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, he walked with God. Do you think that he heard the voice of God every day? Every day. Of course, what Adam did, you know, when the sin came in, it separated man from God, and man no longer could hear the voice of God except through his conscience. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time developing this, but here's the thing. Every person born into the world has the capability of hearing God to the degree that their conscience works. Okay? So that's why, you know, cartoons, they'll talk about a little devil and a little angel on your shoulder. You remember those, you know, and you got little voices, you know, and so you know instinctively what's wrong. Romans chapter 2 talks about every person having a conscience, and their conscience is kind of, you know, determines kind of the law of God, and that everybody's born with that. And you kind of have this innate knowing of what's right and wrong. The problem is your spirit's not reborn, and so you end up doing more wrong than you do right. How many can testify to that? But that's never, that God's design wasn't for man to live his life by his conscience. God's design was for us to be able to live life hearing his voice clearly. Hearing his voice clearly. When you look at, I challenge you to read through the book of Acts and to see how clearly God spoke to his people. Do you know that after Peter was born again, he was still a racist? Do you know it's possible for born again people to be racist? We've seen it throughout our history. In the name of Christian doctrine, we've seen racism thrive in the church in the past. Peter was racist. Peter thought salvation was only for Jewish people and that non-Jewish people could not be saved. And so God One day, while Peter was in prayer, God gave him a vision, and through that vision said, "Whatever I have called clean, don't call unclean." And then at that moment said, and then the Spirit of God told him, "There's three men seeking you. Go with them and don't question anything." He heard clearly, specifically about what to do and where to go and how to live. And because of that one word from God that he got, it forever changed his upbringing, his racist mentality, his "I'm more privileged than anybody else." And he recognized that it's in that chapter, Acts chapter 10, that God is no respecter of persons. That God doesn't elevate one race over another, one people group over another, one gender over another. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, black or white, male or female. We are all equal in Christ. But Peter had to hear God for that to change his life. He knew the Scripture. He had walked with Jesus for 3 years, but yet still had wrong thinking, had wrong motives, was judgmental towards people. But him hearing the specific voice of God changed everything. Paul was in the temple praying. I think it's very interesting. I think it'd be interesting to see how often God spoke to people during their time of prayer. Why do we not hear God? Sometimes it's because we give no space for God to talk in our lives. It's at times of prayer, that time of dedication, that time of setting everything aside. Off your phone. Oh, I know, I just hit some. I can't turn my phone off. Somebody might like something on Facebook, and I got to know about that. We are so inundated by information and by our phone apps and by email and by text messages and by television and by radio, and we have so much noise going on that it's no wonder people aren't hearing the voice of God. But you've got to start out with an understanding that it is God's will for you to hear Him every day. Okay? Part of the reason why people don't hear the voice of God is they don't believe that they can. I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and as I was at a store that I was at, and talking to him, I just felt impressed to share some things with him about God. You know, and this was a salesman, and he was a good salesman because he talked me into spending some money there. And so I said, "Look, I appreciate you helping me out and also taking some of my money, but I want to now help you out. Can I pray for you?" And boy, he started backing up, started talking about all of these different things, you know. Like, I've never seen anybody that talked so much and tried to change the subject. And then he talked about how he and God had a disagreement. I finally worked it all the way around. I said, "Well, you never answered the question. Did you ever resolve your disagreement with God?" "Oh, yeah. Me and God are good." But, you know, and he started talking about that God should only help him just in the when he needs him the most. And that's the way he saw God. And so, just to give you an example, we're going to, in March, begin on Wednesday night, talking about hearing from God in the sense of walking in the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. If you've ever wanted to have a word of knowledge, ever to be used to prophesy, ever be used in the gifts of healing, those kinds of things, those are real gifts of the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be doing that on Wednesday nights in March. We're going to be going through it. We're going to be activating it. You guys, the people that are here, that come here on Wednesday nights, are really going to experience what it means to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. God has done this in my life in 2014. During the time of learning and making a decision, I'm going to step out to hear the voice of God. I also grew in the gifts of the Spirit and knowing what the voice of God sounded like. You will not hear the voice of God on a consistent basis just by sitting in your car or sitting in, at your home, reading the Bible, listening to the Bible, and saying, okay, God, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me, or just as you go about your life. No, you have to engage yourself to hear God. And so I was talking to this gentleman, and earlier that day, and this is, and sometimes you just have to go for it. You just have to take a step. Earlier that day, I was thinking about him. God had placed him on my heart, and he put on my heart that, you know, that something with him and his wife. And so I just decided, here's a guy I didn't even know. I said, look, I said, can I pray for you? Maybe pray for you about you and your wife. He said, what do you mean? I'm like, well, is there anything going on with you and your wife? You know, I really felt like that God was talking to me about that. And his answer to me was, no, we're great. We're good. Everything's perfect. And I'm like, oh, man, that didn't work out the way I thought. What do you do when you completely feel like maybe you've missed it? But I know the voice of God. And I'm like, you know, it came to the point that I thought that he's not going to let me pray for him. And you can feel the tension. Jennifer, you know, could do, you know, she's like, this isn't going too good at all. So what do you do in a situation like that? Well, you know, I just said, okay, you know. And then all of a sudden he said, you know what? There is something you can pray for. And man, the whole atmosphere shifted right there. And he said, my wife and I were trying to make a decision regarding whether we need to sell our house, move, or what, and we don't know what to do. And that was what the Spirit of God. See, I just assumed when God said he and his wife that they were having marital problems. That's another key to hearing the voice of God. Don't read into something because that's what you think he meant. One of the problems that we have is we read into what we hear from God and think that God meant something when all we need to do is actually obey what he just said. That's a good word. And see, I had read into it and assumed that God was meaning this, but actually there was an issue with he and his wife. It was that they were trying to make a decision together and didn't have, and man, it was the easiest prayer. I prayed with them right there in the store. God, I thank you that you said that if any person lacks wisdom, let them ask. See, what God wanted to do is he wants to prove to him that he is real. And this was that opportunity for it to happen. But what if I had just said, well, I guess I missed it. I don't guess it's right. I'm going to step back. I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. No. You hear the voice of God, the more you're willing to step out and saying, God, I believe you said this, so I'm going to go for it. Okay, that's just a thought. That's some things that we'll get into in the next few weeks. Jesus, turn with me over to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10. And the worship team, I'll signal you when to come up here in a little bit because of what happened with the live stream. John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Get the picture. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Isn't that beautiful? The shepherd calls the sheep by name. You are not a no-name person. God knows your name. The shepherd knows your name. So he's not just trying to tell you something generally and saying, this is just for all of you. He will whisper your name. Jeff, Wendy, Brenda. He'll whisper you. He knows you by name. He calls you my beloved. Do you know the Father, and do you know his voice to the place that he's calling you by name? This is the picture that Jesus is trying to give to us. The sheep hear his voice. They know his voice. He leads them out. And look at this. And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. Now, I'd like to just paint this picture that you as a sheep, that you are in a place of darkness. You are in a place of the wrong kingdom. You are in a place of under Satan's control, under the power of darkness. And one day, you heard the word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, good faith people, they love this. We love this scripture because it means the more, you know, I need to hear the word so I can have more faith. But how about this? How about that in context, it's talking about the born-again experience. Somebody preaches the good news to you. You hear the good news. It produces faith in your heart. And you say, yes, I want that. Yes, Jesus, I'm ready to move from darkness into your kingdom and to experience everything that you've given me, everything that you have for me. I'm ready. I'm turning away from my way and turning your way because of what you have promised me. And so you become part of the kingdom of light now. You're part of a new family. And guess what? Now, because you hear his voice, Jesus the shepherd goes out before you and he's leading you out of darkness. He's leading you out of bondage. He's leading you out of addiction. He's leading you out of fear. He's leading you out of oppression. He's leading you out of what's troubled you. He's leading you out of anxiety. He is leading you out of no peace. He is leading you out. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. But for a sheep to find the still waters, for a sheep to find the green pastures, he won't discover it on his own. He won't discover it by all the little sheep can't get together and say, okay, where was it that the shepherd took us yesterday? Let's go see if we can figure it out. Notice that the shepherd leads the sheep out every day. He doesn't lead them out one time and say, okay, you guys are good. Now just keep doing this every day. Do you see the picture, the relationship that the Father wants to have with us, that he wants to lead you every single day, every day into a place of peace, every day into a place of joy, every day into a place of rest, every day into stillness and tranquility. He leads us into paths of righteousness. But if you don't hear his voice, then you won't experience that. All of that is available for you. Jesus made it available because of what he did on the cross and when he was raised from the dead. You don't have to do anything to try to make it happen. The only thing you need to do is hear his voice as he calls your name. Now, here's the good news. Most people are trying to figure out how to hear God's voice. Most people will say, I can't hear his voice. I haven't heard his voice. I don't know what his voice sounds like. If you are a child of God, if you have received Jesus, if you are now part of the family, what this scripture in John chapter 10 says, let's go to verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is a statement of fact. This is not a suggestion. And this is not a how-to. This is saying, what, as far as Jesus is concerned, you, every person here, you hear the voice of God. Your starting place isn't how do I hear the voice of God. Your starting place has to be I hear the voice of God. Now, this is not something that very many people teach, but this has transformed my life. That even when I didn't know what the voice of God sounded like, I would take this scripture, and because Jesus said it, it has to be true. You've got to make a decision in your life that what Jesus says has to be true. When you've decided to live your life according to what He has said, what the Word says, then there's no arguments. What Jennifer was talking about, you have to agree with it. Yeah, but I thought it was God and it wasn't. Yeah, but this, you're arguing against the Word of God. Is it true or is it not? So, He's always talking, and you hear it. The question is now, are you listening? Are you listening? Let me give you an illustration. When I was 17 years old, I got my private pilot's license. Okay, and flew, and so I've told you here in the last few weeks a couple of stories about flying, and the more I tell these stories, the more people say I do not ever want to fly with you. And so so here's another one just to kind of cement that thought. In flying, you have two sets of rules. Man, this will preach plumb into next week. You have two sets of rules. You have visual flight rules. It's called VFR. And you have instrument flight rules. So the difference between the two, VFR is I fly based on what I see. And so I can fly from here down to Destin, Florida, which is the story I'm about to tell you about. I can fly from here without ever talking to anybody on a radio. Okay, I could take off from a little private airport and just go and fly visually and based on what I see. And it's up to me to look out for other airplanes and obstacles and all of that and to figure out where I'm going. And so I am on my own. Or I could fly by instrument flight rules, IFR. And what that means is I can actually fly in the clouds, in the fog, in a place where I can't see anything. And I have instruments in the right there in the airplane that show me where I'm going, and I'm also communicating to somebody that is letting me know about air traffic and make sure I'm headed the right way and that sort of thing, as long as I have the radio tuned to the right frequency. Now, if I don't have the radio tuned to the right frequency, they can be talking all day long and I'll never hear it. Sometimes we're not tuned to the right frequency. We need to be tuned to God's frequency and to hear that. Do you know that in a crowded room and with a bunch of babies, that one baby can scream out and that mother instantly knows, that was my child, let me go check on it. How in the world? She's tuned to the voice of that child. Amen. So, I decided, me and a couple of college buddies decided to go down to Destin, Florida, and to fly down. And so we're going to do it VFR, visual flight rules. Now, this represents how we want to try to live our lives. Do you know, we tend to live our lives in the spirit by VFR, visual flight rules. I'm only going to make decisions based on what I see, and I'm not going to listen to air traffic control, who is God Himself. And so here we are, and we're going, and I got lost. I knew I was getting close, but I got lost. And so since I got lost and I had my two college buddies with me, I needed help. And so I did like every Christian does. We wait till we need the most help and we're the most lost to call out to God. I found the frequency. I contacted air traffic control and I said, hey, this is November 300 Juliet Lima. I'm not exactly where I am. I need a little help. And they said, 300 Juliet Lima, do an immediate 180 right now. Oh, okay. That's called repentance, by the way. And I'm like, okay, and we turned it. Why? What had happened? I actually, since we were going down to Destin, I went into restricted airspace. Eglin Air Force Base. And if I had gone much further, they would have scrambled some jets. Wow. And made sure that I landed right there, and it would not have gone well. Me flying by VFR and by what I could see got me in a heap of trouble. And if it wasn't for the voice that told me to do a 180, how many of you have ended up in restricted airspace where you should not have ventured because you have done it your way and you did not hear the voice of God? I'm telling you that it is important that your life is directed by God's voice. That it's important. I mean, you know, God wants to give you inside information. That would be like, you know, everybody's got these drones nowadays, right? And so you may be driving somewhere and you can't see around the corner, but somebody else that has a drone with a camera, or maybe is already there and is on the phone with you, hey, don't go too fast around this corner because there's a traffic accident or something. They see ahead what you cannot see. God sees around the corner. God sees your life. God sees. He is trying to set you up for favor, but the only way that you're going to experience it is hearing the voice of God. But that's always been His design. So you start with this place that now, as a child of God, I hear His voice. Okay? I just want to share just a couple of other things real quick. This is an introduction as we go through it this month, and maybe even into, because I'm going to talk to you about practical steps over the next week, and then the third and the fourth week here, after Ashley is here in a couple of weeks, practical steps to hearing the voice of God, things that will help you tune in to the voice of God. So I just really want this to be an introduction. Here's a thought that I had. Have you ever bought a new car, decided you're going to buy a car, and there was a particular make and model that you wanted, and you know, because, you know, not everybody has that, and so you're going to stand out a little bit, and so you go and you buy this new car, and then you get on the road with it, and all of a sudden everybody has this car. Like, you see them everywhere. Like, what happened? I never noticed it before. Your vision got in tune. They'd been there the whole time, but your vision got in tune with it, and your focus there, and you see it. And so now, guess what? You start seeing it everywhere. You know, the voice of God can be that way. You can become so in tune with His voice that you just hear it in every place. This is one of the greatest joys. This is where I live. This is where, just every day to hear His voice, the opportunities to step out. It's just like, this is just the most amazing thing ever. Let me just tell you one more airplane story. So that you get an understanding how important it is to tune your ear to what God is saying. What we'll talk about over the next couple of weeks is, how do you know that it's God? How do you know? You hear His voice. I was, Abraham, my brother-in-law, last week came up after the service and told me that there was something that happened. I think he was at work, and he just had an impression about something, and it was God. And so he ministered to a customer. Am I right about this? Am I getting it right? But what he told me was this. He said, what I realized in that moment is that voice has been with me my whole life. I just didn't know it was God. He became, all of a sudden, something happened. It's like, oh, I have been hearing God. It's not that he was. It's not that God began to talk to him. It's that God has always been talking. It's just that he didn't know. He, you know, sometimes we're waiting for a Jennifer. This is the Lord speaking. I need you to do, you know, we're waiting for that kind of a big thing, and where the Bible says that it's a still, small voice. God never forces Himself on people. He would rather, since it was all about restoration of relationship, this is the reason why prayer is important. Can I tell you, since we've been doing Saturday prayer, and since I have set aside that hour every week to pray and here at the church, that during that hour, when all the distractions have been removed, that everything, I'm not thinking about anything else, I'm just focusing on the Lord, I hear God in that moment more than any other place. Well, I take that back. There is one other place that I hear God more than any other moment. That's my shower. Man, I'm telling you what, shower, I can't get to the cell phone. I can't do any of this. I got nothing but noise, this white noise going on around just from the rain, you know, from the water. Man, I am having a good time just listening to the voice of God. It, all distractions removed. So the issue really isn't that God says, okay, when Mark gets into the shower, I'm going to start talking to him. No, it's when Mark gets into the shower, he starts listening to him. Anybody else have the shower experience where God just really, thank you, I don't feel weird now. Oh, yeah, there it is. Cynthia says it's the separation of the water to hear the voice of God. Amen. So my dad and I were flying along. This will be the last thing. Guys, y'all can go ahead and come up. So my dad and I were flying along. Jennifer was in the back seat. And so when you're at 8,000 feet and you're flying and it's a single engine airplane, you want that engine to work perfectly, because if that one stops, you are going down. And so you're absolutely in tune. And so as we're going along and we're just kind of, and we have our headphones on, and but even at that, all of a sudden we heard this sound that was not supposed to be there. And it just started like, you know, and because you just kind of do your thing, and when something doesn't sound right, it's like, what's that? And I looked over at Dad, and he looked over at me, and what is that? We took off our earphones. We're listening, man. That's not right. Something's going on. What is that? What's the location of it? Ooh. Jennifer, she was blowing in a Coke bottle. Messed us up. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine what was going on? What's going on? Jennifer says payback. Yeah. So, what am I saying this morning? I'm saying God, first of all, expects you, not just wants you, but expects you to hear his voice. The songs that we sang this morning is about God speaking to you. What God says about you. You accepting what he is saying about you. You declaring what he is saying about you. And so, first of all, you want to start at a place of saying, yes, I hear the voice of God. Amen. God is always talking. Probably some of you just need to remove the distractions and get alone with God, because in that place, look at the book of Acts again, in that place, men had visions. Paul was in the temple praying, and Jesus came to him in a vision, said, you need to leave, and you need to leave right now, because they're not going to accept what you're saying here in Jerusalem. And so he left. Clear, definite instruction, but it was in those times of prayer. So I want to encourage you as we get into more practical things next week about what does the voice of God sound like and how can you know that you're hearing the voice of God, because this is important. Because what I see, sometimes people say, hey, that was God, you know, they play the God card. I can't counsel people that play the God card. When a person comes to me and says, well, God told me, well, then it's hard for me to counsel because I can't trump God. So how can, but what I do see is what people, they assume that what they're hearing is God or what they're feeling is God. And they actually don't measure it according to the Word of God. And so there are practical ways for you to make sure that you're hearing God, that you're hearing God daily, and that you know that it's God. And these are the things that we're going to get into. But I just wanted to introduce you to the fact that you can hear God. It's His design for you to hear Him every day. And that's His expectation for you. And so from this day forward, you start with, from the starting place, I hear God. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. We're going to, I just want to share some things ministry-wise with you for a moment, just to bring you to a place of decision. I'm going to ask our prayer ministers to come up. So there's just a couple of things to be thinking about as we get ready to close that you can make a decision about today. If you are here today and you want to hear the voice of God, there may be two things going on in your life that has hindered you from hearing the voice of God. Number one, you may not be in the family. You may not be a sheep that can hear His voice right at the moment because you've never made a decision. Jesus, come in. Jesus, and not just, I want to say a confession so that I'll be saved, but Jesus, be the Lord of my life. There's a difference between Jesus as your Savior and Jesus as your Lord. He said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Well, if you want to be a rebellious sheep that never wants to follow God, then you won't experience the abundant life. So you may be here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, but now's the time to do it. You may be here and you're a Christian, but you still haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life. You want to fly your life through VFR, visual flight rules. And you need to be yielding your life to Him and be a follower of Him because He sees ahead and He can keep you out of the restricted airspace that you don't need to be. So right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, for those that have never made a true commitment to yield their life completely to You, let's just raise our hands. Raising your hands is just simply saying, I surrender. I surrender to You. I'm not going to ask you to come out or to come up. I'm just asking you in your heart to do this. Say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. Repeat after me. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. Jesus, I believe that You were crucified for my sin. Was raised from the dead that I might become back into relationship with You, Father. And so at this moment, I yield my life to You completely. I declare, Jesus, that You are Lord over my life. I am Your sheep. You are my shepherd. I hear Your voice, and I follow You. And You lead me into paths of righteousness. You lead me beside still waters. You make me to lie down in green pastures. So I thank You for that now. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give Him praise right now. Let's give Him praise right now. Let's give Him praise now. Now say this. Say this, Father. I hear Your voice. Thank You that You speak to me every day. I have ears to hear. I'm listening. I'm tuning my ears to Your voice. And I'll follow what I hear. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to expect this week for God to do amazing things. Set some time aside, okay? Amen. Amen. Now, before we sing, let me pray with you over your giving. If you're new here, we did the missions offering, but we don't pass an offering for the church. We have boxes by the doors, or we have ways to give online. We do this every week. As a body of believers together, we get to agree together, respond to what God is saying in our giving. He's blessed us so that we can bless others. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank You. We thank You for blessing us. We thank you that we can give cheerfully, we can give bountifully, that we can give to every good work because of what you've done. And so you said as every person purposes in their heart, so we purpose right now. We purpose right now. Father, I thank you for not just ministering seed to sowers, but multiplying their seed sown in Jesus' name. This is the privilege of the saints, the privilege of your children, the privilege to be able to do it. And so we thank you for increased favor, increased grace, and increased abundance right now in Jesus' name.